a person who came out for prayer. And as usual, someone went to pray for him. And they said, "What do you need prayer for?" And he said, "For my hearing." There's probably a few people in here would say that they do have hearing problems. Is that right? My wife says I can't hear, but she doesn't speak loud enough. This man said, "I want prayer for my hearing." And so the guy out the front, he prayed for him and prayed for him with his hands over his ears. And then he said to him, "How's your hearing?" He said, "I don't know. The hearing's not till next week." Well, I trust that you can all hear well enough today. Keith's up here in the front as a backstop. Thank you, Keith. I don't have the same memory that Darren has. I think he must have a blank page up in his brain that he just switches on and copies what he says and then recalls it later. I can't remember like he can. He seems to be able to remember how he spoke the first time. Well, I'm not going to speak quite the same this time, but I'm going to turn your mind further to stay focused on the Lord. And that's the important issue, to stay focused on the Lord. As I said this morning, the scripture says, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. Now the scripture says, fix your eyes upon Jesus. Now that's a simple scripture, but it's not that easy to do at times. Fixing our eyes on Jesus when there's so many other things that we could fix our eyes on. But this morning I want you to fix your eyes on, and instead of telling the other story this morning, I want to tell another true story about a young person in university. This person was listening to a Christian preacher, and he was preaching, and she stood up when he was preaching and she said, "I don't believe a word of what you're saying. It's rubbish." He wasn't put off by what she said. He felt saddened by what she said. She said, I don't go along with that. It's a proven fact that what you're saying is wrong. Anyway, after the speaking in the university, she came to him and she continued to tell him that what he was saying was wrong. And she swore at him and used other words as well. And he said to this young girl, he said, "Can I pray for you?" She said, "I suppose it wouldn't hurt." Anyway, as he began to pray, a couple of tears fell down his eyes. She was watching. And she said, why are you crying? He said, "I'm just praying for you and thinking about you." She said, "Nobody has ever shed a tear for me. Nobody has ever prayed for me. And yet you're praying for me." She said, "I want what you've got. I want what you've got. That's the Saviour. You know, he's a good shepherd. He's the one who understands. He leads his sheep. And he'll keep us if we'll keep our eyes fixed on him." Let me take you for a few moments back to the Old Testament, to Genesis chapter 22. It says, Abraham, he was speaking to the Lord, and the Lord said to him, "I'm going to destroy this city." Abraham said, "If there are 50 people there, will you still destroy it?" God said, "No, I won't." Abraham must have had a very close relationship with God, because he proceeded to go down the list, five at a time, 45, 40, till he got right down to the lowest. If there's 10, will you still destroy it? God said no. Abraham knew God as a God of miracles. He knew God as a God who could do almost anything. No, he could do everything. He's a God who cannot fail. He's a God of the impossible. Do you believe it? He can do for you what no other friend can do. Let me then go on to Genesis chapter 22. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham. Here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. This was a challenge, was it not? What have you got that you would hold back from God? I'm putting it the opposite way. What have you got that you would hold back if God said to you, give it up? Now, you may think that's strange to ask you that, but you know there are many times people have things in their lives that holds them back from the things of God. And God wants us to give whatever he asks. And if it's the best thing we have to give, God may require it. We hope he doesn't ask us something that's difficult. Is that right? But you never know what God may ask us to do. You never know what God may ask us to give up. And he says this to Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son. I think if that had been me, I would have had second thoughts, wouldn't you? But God was testing Abraham. God already knew, it said he was testing Abraham. He was testing Abraham. He was wanting Abraham to say, yes, I'll give up everything. I'll give what you want me to give. And you know, sometimes it hurts to give of our best to the master. But that's when the blessing of the Lord comes. When we are obedient and we focus, did you get it? We focus on the Lord. It's a constant need in our lives that we focus constantly on the Lord. Now, Abraham, if it had been me, I'm sure I would have said, look, I'm going to talk to my wife. Wouldn't you? I just want a little bit of time. God, give me a little bit of time to think this over. But you know, Abraham, he didn't allow any negatives to come. He didn't allow any conversations to come. Yeah, that's probably what happens to us at times. We do, when we know what God wants us to do, we have a tendency to go and speak to someone else and see what they say. Anyone here do that? Just to be sure that it's God? I think many of us do that. We go to someone else and we say, what do you think? And they say, oh, I'm not too sure about that. And they put a little seed of doubt. But Abraham wasn't going to have any seeds of doubt. The Bible says, Abraham, what did you do? Early the next morning, he didn't leave time for any discussion. He didn't leave time for him even to cool off from the message that God had given him. Early next morning, Abraham got up and saddled the donkey. I could imagine myself doing that, could you? Getting up, saddling the donkey, knowing that I was going to put my son on that donkey to take him to the place where I was going to sacrifice him. I tell you, I don't think I would have slept the night before. But He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." I love that. Abraham had an assurance in his heart that doesn't matter what happens, God would raise his son. Can we have that same assurance? You know we can, if we keep our focus on him. And it says there, he took his son, and I like what it says. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering, placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. He was determined to do what God said, even though it was hard. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, "Abraham, father?" "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar. I love this picture. I see this man had contact with God. He had faith in God and he built the altar. He was going to worship God anyway. He built the altar. He placed his son on the altar. The Bible says he was about to raise that knife. And a voice from heaven said, "Don't do it. Don't do it." Let me say this morning, God may take you to the brink of your own power, of your own ability. He may take you right to the edge. When you get to the edge and you feel you're about to drop off, reach out. God's hand is reaching down. God will not suffer you to go through anything more than you can actually take. I love my Lord. I appreciate what he's done for me. And you know, because of what he's done for me, I ask God to help me be a witness to others of his saving grace, of his power, what he can do in their lives. I recognize afresh just how great our God is. But you know what? I think the church, and pardon me for saying it, I'm part of it. I think the church has lost its way to some extent. We're happy because we're going to heaven. We're happy because we feel that God blesses us. But you know, there are people out there who don't know God. There are people out there who did know God, but they've lost the focus on the Lord. They are no longer focusing on the Lord. They are going astray. And I feel more than ever that the coming of the Lord is very close. Now, I know we've been saying that for a long time, but I want to reassure you it's closer than it was yesterday. He's coming. And I also believe that so is persecution. You can see it's coming. We are to be prepared. We are to stay focused on what God wants us to do. And even though governments may make rulings, even though governments may try and enforce things, I tell you, we need to stay focused on what God wants us to do. Are you prepared to stand? Are you prepared to go the way God wants you to go? Or, let me say, there are many Christians who are faltering. I'm not saying that in any glee. I'm saying it with a heart that's broken. People are dying. People are going astray. People are backsliding. And I'm thinking of that day when judgment day comes, when we stand before God and he asks us a few questions. What will we say? Will we say we've given our best? Will we say we've given our lives? Or will we say we faltered? What will he say to us? Will he say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord"? Or will he say, "I didn't know you"? Folks, this morning, again I say, keep focused on the Lord. Going back to just the last portion of that, it says, Abraham answered, "Here I am. Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." And caught in the thicket was a lamb, which was a provision for Abraham to sacrifice. Let's go back to where we were this morning. Back to the scriptures on "Follow me." In Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, "Follow me," Jesus said, not someone else. I want to emphasize it again. Not some great preacher, not some great evangelist that you see on TV. They may be good or they may be bad. That's a terrible thing to say, but it's the truth. Follow who? The one we focus our thoughts on, the one we focus our thinking on, the Lord himself. "Follow me and I will make you." And I said this morning, what a strange couple that he picked. Peter and Andrew, those fishermen, probably pretty rough characters. Probably two people that you would have most likely thought they're the last ones you would think this man would be associated with, this Jesus. Why would he pick these two fishermen? Well, probably not even successful fishermen. If they like some of the fishermen today, they only feed fish. Anyone here feed fish? Yeah, I know there's one that does. You see, Jesus saw beyond what they looked like. He saw beyond what others saw. He saw people who needed help. He saw people who were probably struggling. I don't know what their family conditions were like. But Jesus saw, but he saw beyond what they were, and he saw potential. And I'm so glad that Jesus has seen past some of our actions. Aren't you? I'm so glad. The song says, "I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me." And it also says, "I'm on my way to heaven." I won't go any further. We're on our way to heaven, aren't we? We're glory bound. However, as we look at this here picture, we see these disciples to be didn't ask any questions. "Lord, I'll have to sell my boat. I'll have to get rid of the boat. I have to get rid of the nets. Maybe tomorrow could we talk about it further?" That's how we work today, isn't it? We want to discuss things. We want to work things out. But I want to say afresh today, keep your focus on the Lord. And if you keep your focus on the Lord, it doesn't matter if you're a fisherman, ex-fisherman, ex-truckie, ex-doctor, ex-whatever. He'll see you through. He'll see you through because he is God. He'll see you through. He cannot fail, for he is God. He cannot fail. His word has said. And this morning, as we look at these two men, we know that they did great things for God as they trusted and as they walked with the Savior. As I mentioned this morning, Matthew 11:28, no doubt when we work for God, we do get weary at times. Sometimes we feel like we'd like a stopping place. We'd like a rest. Well, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'll give you peace. I'll give you joy. I'll give you strength. I'll be with you." And that is what he's saying to us today. Come unto me if you're weary, if you're down a little bit at times. And I know all of us get down a little bit at times. But when we have Christ with us, he is our strength. And finally, I'm going to let you off early today. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 22, and we're again coming to keeping our focus, remember, keeping our focus on the Lord. When that crowd of people who had followed the Lord, they'd followed him because they had seen the miracles that he'd done. They'd followed him because they'd been blessed by the words that he spoke. They followed him into the desert, so to speak. The Bible says that the disciples recognized the need of those people. They recognized those people had nothing, but neither did they have anything to give. What a situation to be in. And I want to just change that slightly to the spiritual. If we meet some people who need help, what do we have to give? I can only say that I want to turn their focus towards Jesus. He alone not only has the answer, he is the answer. I believe it with all my heart that he is the answer. And as we travel this road, we need to look more and more at that thought. He is my source of supply. And we know the disciples said, "Send them away. We can't do anything for them." Some churches are saying that very thing by their actions. Send them away. We can't help them. But Jesus said they don't have to go away. They don't have to go away. You give them something to eat. What with? He said, tell them to sit down. I just like the way the master spoke. He didn't go into explaining everything. He just said, tell them to sit down. And what did he do? He just prayed to God, or he spoke to God. And I don't know to this day how or when those pieces multiplied, but they multiplied somewhere between Jesus speaking and between the people taking it around. How much have you got over spiritually? Have you got something more that you can give out? If you haven't, focus on the Lord. Keep your focus on the one who is able. And then we went on further to see that Jesus said to them, go across the other side in the boat. And I often wondered at this. Why would he tell them to go in the boat when I'm sure he must have seen it was pretty rough? And you know, he tells us to. He doesn't say, wait till everything's fine. He doesn't say, wait till everything's going good. He says, go now. What does it say? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. How do you go? Some go personally, others give, some preach, and many pray. But don't let us forget to pray. Pray for those who are gone. And hear these people, they're out in the waves. And poor old Peter. Peter was an unusual character, wasn't he, in some ways? He's out there in the boat and getting a bit rough. And they see the Lord, but they don't recognize him. Somebody said the other day that they'd seen an angel. And I said, well, that might be the case. But the Bible does say sometimes that angels do appear. And I look sometimes at different people and I think, well, maybe there are some angels around. I shouldn't name any, but, you know, there's two or three at the front here, I guess. God expects us to be his hands, his voice, and his feet. As we keep focused down the highway, we can show people the way. This is the way, walk ye in it. We can show the people, because we're so focused on God that they will not only hear us, but they will feel the love of God. As I said this morning about Peter, he took a few steps. Those waves were pretty big. And I can imagine the waves coming and he's thinking, oh yes, I can still see the Lord over there. But then as he went down, what could he see? Another wave. And he probably saw that wave and he probably imagined in his mind, there's another wave behind that. And I said this morning, we sometimes see waves and we also see waves that probably won't even reach us. Are you getting what I'm saying? We actually see things coming that are not going to come to us, but we have a fear, and because of that fear, we begin to sink. What did I say at first? But focus on the Lord, because he's there to pick us up. And when Peter began to sink, the Lord was there to lift him up. Friends, I want you today just to remember the few things I've said, and I'll just read the same thing that I read this morning. Do you waver sometimes? The song says, once I thought I was walking with Jesus, but somehow I had some changing moods. Sometimes I trusted in his unchanging word, and at other times I doubted. And at other times I was so happy in God. I was praising God. I was glorifying God. I was thanking him for all he'd done. And you wouldn't believe it. Just after that, I had an attack. And what had happened? I became so sad. I lost my joy because I lost my concentration on my focusing on God. It says, however, when our focus is on Jesus, the song says, oh, the peace my Savior gives, peace I never knew before, for my way has brighter grown since I learned to trust him more. And I'll just close by saying, keep your focus on Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Shall we stand?